Chai. How excited are you for another inter-squad game that everybody else gets to watch tonight down at Rogers Center?
Well, this one is supposed to be a little bit more formalized than some of the games that they've been running. I think there's supposed to be actually two defined teams playing one another. The past ones have been a little bit more makeshift and, you know, guys just getting reps in based on need, whereas this one will be a bit more of a proper game. So going to be exciting to watch. I never would have thought I'd be, you know, stoked up for a little intra-squad baseball, but, you know, 4 months of shutdown and away from live sports, I'm happy with whatever we're getting right now.
Shai, how has been the bubble down at Rogers Center?
I mean, it's taken some getting used to for everybody. The joke I've made is, it's nice to see a lot of familiar eyeballs because everyone's wearing a mask. But, I do really much appreciate both the steps that the Blue Jays have taken in regards to media to ensure that they're good, proper health and safety protocols. And my colleagues all over the place for, really taking everything seriously. And everybody is really adhering to the stuff that we should be doing to make sure that the virus does remain contained here in Ontario. So, it's part of adjusting to the new world realities that we're all facing. And, it's been odd. It's been sort of just jarring visually based on, what the traditional experience is. But it's something that, once you get used to it, it's, this is just the new normal. Nothing else you can do about it.
Yeah, you just roll with it and hope people stay healthy and we can keep going. Shai, what a year-over-year difference from this Jay starting rotation. Like, my goodness, like, you look at Hyunjin Ryu went last night. Look, I'll get your take on how you thought he looked last night in person there. But you look at this whole staff overall. You have Nate Pearson kind of floating back there after going away for a week, so you don't lose that year, coming in. Like, this rotation in this short season, just like I'm trying to maybe hold back the enthusiasm, the expectations a little bit. But I'm pretty damn excited about this. How excited should Jays fans be about this, the starting five for Toronto?
Well, I mean, when you consider that for a part of last season, the Jays were essentially had a two-man rotation and then were just making it up in between, it's a lot better. I mean, you have a legitimate ace in Hyunjin Ryu, and obviously that's a world of difference. But, you've got a healthy Matt Shoemaker, and that's important. Trent Thornton, the only pitcher who went wire to wire, he's right in that mix too. He's got a chance. Tanner Roark has been a reliable innings eater throughout his career. And, there's such value in that. It's sort of this underappreciated value, but, a guy who can post every 5 days and, give you six or seven, every team in the majors will sign up for that. And then, Chase Anderson was going to be there. He's obviously got the oblique strain, so that's opening up a pathway. I think that Nate Pearson has certainly been barging down the door. Ryan Borucki's right there. Anthony Kay is right there. Thomas Hatch is in that mix. So, the Blue Jays not only have a much better rotation, they have some real depth options now, which is something that they haven't had on a starting pitching from a starting pitching perspective for several years.
Yeah, it seems like it's been forever. So take us through Ryu's outing last night, first time in a Jays uniform, and by all accounts, threw 59 pitches, looked good, threw some after the game as well. What were some of your takeaways from Ryu's first time in a Jays uni?
Well, actually, I ended up co-hosting the watch party of the 2016 Wild Card game.
Yes, so that's right.
I didn't make it down to the ballpark last night, unfortunately. I was really looking forward to watching Ryu and Roark. But, Ryu's been good. He's throughout the spring. And, he's at the point in his career, he's established enough that you don't really, this is just work for him at this point, right? Like, that he understands what he needs to do to get ready for a big league season. And, you're not, as long as he's coming out of things healthy, you're not really paying too much attention to the results. So, you know, from, you know, the that's the nice thing about having an established ace the way Ryu is. You know, you can just sort of set your watch to those guys and just trust that they're going to be ready when, you know, the ball start flying for real. And, you know, I think that he's on track to be to start on opening day for the Blue Jays.
Baseball columnist, insider for Sportsnet, Shai Davidi, joining us here on Sportsnet today. George and Andy, Sportsnet, 590 The Fan. Shai, we love terms like X-Factor in sports radio, but Matt Shoemaker is a guy who was really good before he got hurt. Could he be the guy that maybe carries, you know, could be a surprise again for the Blue Jays in this rotation and end up being really valuable for them in this short season?
I mean, I don't think it should be a surprise, right? Because when he's been healthy, and that's been the primary roadblock for him, is a lack of health. But when he's been healthy, he's been effective, and you know he was very effective. I don't expect him to have an ERA in the ones throughout all season. But you know he's a guy who can just give you reliable innings. And you know you're not looking for 30 starts from anybody right now, right? You need 12 starts out of guys. So you know if he can get through those 12 starts and you know have his stuff working the way that it did in that month that he pitched for the Jays last season, then you've got a really nice complement to Ryu. And then, you know, if Pearson ends up making the team, as, you know, he very well should, then all of a sudden you've got a pretty formidable front of the rotation. You know, you throw Rourke in that mix, Thornton in that mix, and, you know, the Blue Jays can be a really, really interesting team really quickly. So, Shoemaker is important, but just the way this season's set up, every pitcher is important, right? Every game matters more because you only got 60 of them. And, you know, one extended slump is good enough to kill you, and one good run, one really extended hot streak, and it might be good enough to carry you all the way to the postseason.
Which would just be insane. And you said you were hosting the watch party yesterday, of course, looking back at that 2016 wildcard game. And watching some of that, Shai, you see the crowd. Now, obviously, that's going to be a little bit of a, you know, not going to happen at Rogers Center. But you see that excitement and that remembering that. And I like the tweet you put out as well. Two of the most underrated home runs in Blue Jays history. The Edwin one in 2016, but also the Ed Sprague homer in the 92 World Series, which, if I believe my memory serves me correctly, Rance Mullinex tipped him off to the pitch ahead of it, and he cranked it off. Like, just the fact that we could, not to get ahead of ourselves, but could be on the cusp of something really special in this short season. And if the Jays do make the playoffs, like, Shai, that could ramp things up experience-wise and expectation-wise super quick for this organization.
Sure. I mean, and look, I think that you'd need a fair amount of small sample size randomness for that to play out, right? Like, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays and the New York Yankees are substantial obstacles on that path. And, you know, this is not necessarily the beginning of the window, but, you know, the Jays have that mix of upside, talent, and some organizational depth where this kind of season, if they manage things creatively, you know, you can maybe fake your way through 60 games in a way that you couldn't through 162 games, which is really the type of test that exposes all flaws. So, you know, I think we can see all kinds of weird stuff. You know, if you went last year through the first 60 games of the season, Washington Nationals don't make the playoffs, and they're not even close, right? And they won the World Series. So the potential for all kinds of weirdness exists. Unfortunately, in the times that we're living in, you know, one outbreak could kill a team's chances. And obviously that's secondary to the players' health. But, you know, if we're just looking at things only through a results lens, you know, one outbreak could take a team that's, you know, running away with a division, decimate their chances, and effectively end their season. So all kinds of weird, anomalous stuff can happen this year. And, you know, I think if you're a fan, you know, that's part of the intrigue. It's just that you just can't predict this. As much as you want to look at it and say, oh, well, on paper, this is this and this is that, you know, like 60 games is too small a sample size in baseball to predict anything accurately. Weird stuff can and probably will happen.
Shai, we know the biggest story coming out of summer camp was Vlad Jr. moving from third to first base. And we had Dan Schulman on yesterday, and he thinks that this is a move that the Blue Jays are really serious about winning in this 60-game season. And having Travis Shaw at third base gives them a better opportunity to do so. And then Kevin Barker, who will have the call with Mike Wilner tonight for the inter-squad game, says this potentially is a weight gain issue, why he's moving to first base, and maybe it's a work ethic thing. Which side are you on with Vlad moving to first?
Well, I don't think that it's, you know, only one or only the other. There are a lot of factors into this. And I think that long term, we all knew this was coming, right? Like, this is not like so drastic. Like, this was on the horizon, whether it was 2021 or 2022. It was coming. And then, you know, you've got a number of other factors that come into play there. You know, could Vladimir Guerrero Jr. do all the things that he was doing during spring training throughout the shutdown, you know, and come back and be able to, you know, try to pick up some of the strides that he'd made on D during that time? You know, it probably would have been tough. You know, everybody was limited to a certain degree during the shutdown. Then you factor in that in a small season, the every little margin makes such a big difference that, you know, losing a little or the little bit of defense that you gain at third base with Travis Shaw there instead of Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I mean, that could make the difference in, you know, a win or two wins, and that goes a long way when you're only playing 60 games. And then three, you know, ultimately, what's really important about Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? Is it that he plays passable, you know, average, maybe slightly below average D at third base? Or is it that he's in position to just rake and put up big numbers at the plate? You know, ultimately, you have to leverage the bat. You know, he's never, you don't bring Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to the majors thinking, oh, he's going to really make a difference on D for us. No, he's there to hit. So you put him at first base, let him do what he's supposed to do, and sort of maximize the roster, or, you know, use your roster to its maximum efficiency.
But and I completely agree with you, Shai, but is this about longevity in his major league career? Because if he is carrying a lot of extra weight, and Prince Fielder is an example of a guy who came from son of a major leaguer, had all these high praise, had a really good career, but injuries cut his career short, and he carried a ton of weight during his career. Is that something that we're going to be talking about for Vlad Jr. pretty much his entire career too?
Potentially. I mean, I don't know. And I think that it's still early for us to be, you know, worried about, you know, injuries and stuff down the road. You know, this is a guy who's proven that he's had some longevity. He had some noteworthy fatigue issues at the end of last season, but it's also the first time he's played that many games at the big league level, that long a season with as much work, extra work that he did every day on his defense, you know, so you can understand that to a degree. But look, the guy is like a freak of nature when he hits. And that's really rare. You don't see guys with his type of abilities, you know, his type of discipline, his bat to ball contact. It's a rare combination. You know, just to me, you put him in a position to be as successful a hitter as possible, and then just take passable defense, and that's good enough. Because, you know, some guys come to the majors because they're great defenders. Some guys, that's natural to them. You know, that's not necessarily natural to Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but what's important with him is that you get the bat. And, you know, the thing, putting him at first base is setting him up to be the most successful hitter that they can be. At least that's the viewpoint of the Blue Jays right now.
Shai, we talked about the impressive depth of the starting rotation for the Jays, finally. What about the bullpen? Because Ken Giles, big year, right? Contract year. Overall, your thoughts on the depth, not just on the from the starting side, but also the relievers?
Yeah, I mean, that's it's going to be interesting to see how the Blue Jays use that. So from a back-end relief standpoint, you're looking at, you know, Anthony Bass, Rafael Galiz, and Jordan Romano being there to help bridge the gap from starter to closer. And that's really important. And obviously Ken Giles has a lot riding on this, and the Blue Jays have quite a bit riding on Ken Giles too. You know, they're going to have to make a decision come the August 31st trade deadline, weird as that is to say, that whether or not they're keeping him for a run at this season, and then, you know, they're going to risk letting him walk for nothing as a free agent, or whether they make a deal for him at that point and, you know, try to get something back, try to get a future piece back for him. But, you know, how all that plays out is going to be interesting. And, you know, how the other guys fear behind Ken Giles will probably be a factor, because, you know, if the Blue Jays are sort of in the neighborhood of contention but not necessarily right in it, maybe you and you've gotten and some better options or suitable options have emerged behind Ken Giles, it might make such a trade a little bit easier for the Blue Jays to consider at that point in time. But, you know, the other thing, too, is that they're going to have a lot of extra arms. You know, the Charlie Montoyo's floated the idea of, you know, 16, 17, maybe 18 pitchers on the initial 30-man roster. Some of their young kids who have been starters in the minors could end up in the bullpen. There are going to be a lot of interesting weapons there. You know, someone like a Julian Merriweather, who's, you know, pushing triple digits. You know, someone that the Blue Jays have wanted to stretch out but aren't going to really have that option this year. You know, he could be a real weapon out of the bullpen. Patrick Murphy is another big arm guy, big velocity, who could come in and do some damage there. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they ultimately piece that together. But, you know, we could see the Blue Jays do some opener style of stitching games together because they do have a lot of power arms in that bullpen. And, you know, when you've got velocity and you can use it effectively, all of a sudden you can really shorten games and creatively work your way through different games based on that bullpen.
Are the Blue Jays, and not only the Blue Jays, but baseball, do you think that starters in general will have a shorter leash because of this shorter season?
It's hard to say, because the one thing that is difficult to gauge is that everybody's coming in at a different state of readiness, right? Depending on what kind of resources you had during your shutdown. So, you know, some guys are up to 3-4 innings, some guys are up to 5-6. And because of that, especially out of the gate, and, you know, worried about, you know, the health of your pitcher, you've got to be careful that you're not pushing them too hard, too fast. The last thing you want to do is have guys, you know, shred their elbow or shred their shoulder because, you know, they're just being more aggressive right out of the gate than they necessarily should be. You know, you look at the Blue Jays, Chase Anderson with a strained oblique. You know, that's typically, you know, an injury where, you know, you're exerting yourself a little bit further than maybe your body is capable of. And Chase Anderson is someone who is throwing and, you know, was relatively built up for where he was. So, you know, that it really underlines a lot of the risks there. But then you have guys like, you know, Trevor Bauer, who's saying he wants to go every fourth day. You know, he wants to make 15 starts this year. So it's going to be really individual. I don't think that we could just broad brushstroke and say this is the way it's going to be. It's just this year, more than any other, there's going to be a lot of individual monitoring necessary and, you know, adjustments off of that. Just because it's going to be very hard to have players in a uniform state of readiness under these circumstances.
And Shai, the looming question that we don't know yet, of course, is where are we going to see the Blue Jays in the regular season? Is it going to be Rogers Center, Buffalo the last couple of days gaining heat, to Florida? I guess ideally it's staying in Toronto and being in the hotel bubble, but is Buffalo a viable option to you if this goes down? Like, it's, you know, it is a minor league ballpark.
Yeah, I think that there's some significant infrastructure issues in the Buffalo situation that, with, you know, we're a bit less, I think, right now than 2.5 weeks from the home opener, that they just can't resolve in time. It's just the clock is not their friend right now. So, you know, I think Buffalo is difficult. Buffalo, they're set up to be the club's alternative training site. You know, I think more that's all largely ready. The Blue Jays are, you know, very much committed to making Toronto work if they can gain the government approval. That is the path of least resistance for them. It is by far the best opportunity for them to keep their players away from the virus. You know, certainly much better than it would be in Florida. So, you know, that's sort of where things are at. You know, the Blue Jays are maybe at a point where they have to start looking outside those three possibilities as well, just to have fallbacks. If Toronto doesn't work out, you know, I think they very much want to avoid Florida at all costs. But it's going to be difficult for them to make Buffalo work at this point.
Shai, when do we need an answer for all of this by, you think? Because we're getting close to July 29th.
Yeah, I would expect an answer sometime this week. You know, it's not just the Blue Jays who need clarity. It's also the teams who would be traveling here who are going to need some clarity. They need to know where they're going, right? They've got to make bookings, and there are a lot of logistical things. You know, broadcast has to get set up. You know, this is essentially a TV-only season. So, you know, that needs its time to get set up. So, you know, there are a lot of moving parts to this, a lot of people who are planning on multiple contingencies, but they're getting to the point where, you know, they need everything locked up.